Good morning. We want to come to lesson two on the marriage seminar, Biblical Secrets of Intimacy. Granted, there's a little bit of a advertising thing, call it Biblical Secrets, but that's the way a lot of things in the Bible really are. They're secrets from the world because they don't know where to go to find these answers. We want to talk today about the importance of intimacy. It is one of God's purposes for marriage. Two people becoming one. There's probably no greater statement of intimacy than that. And the two becoming one implies then that the one is not at war with itself, but rather in intimacy there is harmony. So notice, first of all, intimacy is the main purpose of marriage. You see this from the various verses there in Genesis. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called the seas, and God saw that it was good. Then again, the earth brought forth grass, herb yielding seed after his kind, tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Then to rule over the day and over the night, to divide the light from the darkness, God saw that it was good. He created great whales, every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. He made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, God saw that it was good. And in summary, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the 6 days. So God pronounced all of his creation good. But as he looked around, letter B, God found only one thing not good. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet suitable for him," a helper suitable. And then C, marriage was designed to provide that very intimacy. It's not good that man be alone, so he created a wife. And we see the most oft repeated verse, Genesis 2:24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." I love that verse because God is talking to two people who didn't have father or mother. It's all just part of that plan, the after the kind plan. So he says, this is the way it's going to be. They shall be one flesh. So leaving and cleaving, leaving mother and father and cleaving to the wife. Then Matthew 19:5, Christ said, "For this cause shall a man leave father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, they twain shall be one flesh." Mark 10, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh." And in Ephesians 5:31, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall be joined unto his wife, they two shall be one flesh." So you see that throughout the New Testament, it comes back to the emphasis of the two becoming one. So how was marriage invented? It was invented to solve the problem of intimacy, or to provide the answer of intimacy, because it was not good that the man be alone. All right, so intimacy, the main purpose of marriage. Number two, intimacy eliminates the urge for divorce. Divorce is desired when intimacy is destroyed. It may be destroyed by betrayal. It may be destroyed by the breaking of vows. In Malachi 2:14, "Yet you say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously." Now, to be treacherous is to betray, you see. There's a number of ways you can betray. according to Ephesians 5, the man is to put the wife in first place. And if the man then puts something else in first place, that's a betrayal. And it is felt. If a wife, girls grow up wanting to be appreciated. They like dating where people think of them and so on. And without trying to be mean or anything, but through the ages, men have known that they could approach even a married woman and entice her by a dating situation. And most women would fall for it. They would say, here's somebody that really appreciates me. My husband doesn't appreciate me anymore. But this is a betrayal. No matter how far it goes, the very fact that she is lured from the devotion to her husband, that's a betrayal. And that betrayal may lead to a breaking of the vows. So he says, thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. Marriage is a covenant between two people and before God. Covenant is before witnesses. And so this covenant being made, you understand what is involved with a covenant before God. That God says, you sacrifice everything to keep that vow. God says, I don't have any pleasure in fools. And what he's talking about is the person who makes a vow and doesn't keep it. And then point B, divorce is desired when intimacy is forgotten, along with the covenant made before God. Intimacy is when you're all about the other person. This is when you sit down and you say, how's it going with you? And you really ask it. You don't wait and say, well, I had a bad day because of this and that, and you just turn off, You actually draw that out. There is a healing that goes through when you can draw out the problems. The person is healed as they share with a loving, ear and a loving heart. They can share their problems, and in sharing, it comes out where they can see it. They can analyze it. And one of those things that I've noticed about problems that I'm kind of wrestling with and feel upset about and so on, once I state it, then it takes concrete form. Once I am able to share it with my wife and she makes her wise comments about things, then it seems like, that's not nearly as bad as I thought it was. And it comes to me with the discussion what needs to be done about it. So you can actually get a handle on these things. So this is what intimacy ought to be, see. But where you lose that, and it comes back to selfishness. When I'm only concerned about giving my problems to my wife, then this breaks down, because now I'm just burdening her. But if I come seeking her burden, I'm lessening her burden, you see. And so the focus cannot be on me. The focus has to be on the loved one. Proverbs 2:16-17, to deliver thee from the strange woman. Now, the strange woman is the woman who's enticing the man. Even from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And what kind of a woman is this? Which forsaketh the guide of her youth, the way she was taught, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. Now, this could be the covenant between Israel and God, but she forgets the covenant of her God seems to me to indicate a very personal covenant, probably her marriage. So when intimacy is lost, when people focus on self more than on the other, then two people are married, but they're living isolated. There's not the interchange. There's not the interplay. It's all on the surface. Hi, how's the weather? You know. And if you are sincerely involved in saying, how are things? How is it with you? One of the things that I've noticed, my wife, her boss is has no people skills at all, and there's only two people in the office. You know, he's the boss and she's the lady that does the work, and so nothing personal ever shared. He just lays things on her. So, well, you should figure this out. It's just logic. Third grade arithmetic should be enough to take care of this, you know. So he's always implying that she's stupid. He's always implying that she's, he'll come downstairs. What have you been doing for the last hour? You know, like implying she's lazy. And, you know, it is just a burden. She's never, ever worked anywhere but where they were surprised at how much she was able to get done and all that stuff. So it's just him, you know. Well, when we are together after work and I say, how'd it go, you know, I'm inviting her to open the whole dump truck, you know, and just pour it in. And I think she has come to realize that I'm really asking. And so she'll go on and on and on. But the very fact that she goes on, that she knows she can, is a healing thing. She has a little phrase. So I say, well, how are you doing? She says, better now. You know, better now. So divorce is desired when you have been abandoned by your mate. See. Now, I'm not trying to prompt any of you to think about divorce. What I'm saying is, are you prompting your mate for divorce? If you are so concerned about self that you're thinking, well, my mate's not giving me what I want, you're probably not giving what they need either, because your focus is on self. So this is where intimacy being forgotten is the spark of divorce. Number three, intimacy lays the groundwork for success in all areas of life. You know, as marriage is the heart of a person's life, so it affects everything else. Notice, first of all, man has needed help from the beginning. It was not good that man be alone. And it wasn't like they didn't try anything else, you know. How about pets? Genesis 2, 18 to 20. Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make and help meet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living thing, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. Aren't you glad? I mean, George, here's my wife, the gorilla. I mean, what would it be if he found one, you know? She's a cute little pig, isn't she? You know, I mean, how bad would that be? So God says, no, I'm going to have to make another human. That's the only thing left. Man needed help from the beginning, and no amount of playing with the animals was going to help. So he made a wife. Secondly, man is benefited by marriage. In Ephesians 5:28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He's saying, how much should you give in love? How much should you serve by love? He says, as much as you serve your own bodies. And the reason, he that loveth his wife loveth himself. Now this works both ways, for the wife to the husband. Albert Barnes says, here's why this is true. Because by this, he really promotes his own welfare as much as he does when he takes care of his own body. A man's kindness to his wife will be more than repaid by the happiness which she imparts. And all the real solicitude which he shows, this is what I was talking about, of intimacy, asking, soliciting from her what it is that's going on in her life, all the real solicitude which he shows to make her happy will come to more than it costs. It will be repaid more than it costs. If a man wishes to promote his own happiness in the most effectual way, he had better begin by showing kindness to his wife. And what this is saying is, if you would like to be happy, invest making your mate happy. Stop trying to make yourself happy. It's a never-ending process, you see. And it turns everybody else away from you, you know. All you're thinking about is yourself, and all your money is being spent on yourself. If you turn that around and give everything and, you know, think of how you can love the other, then it just fills that person's heart with love, which has to spill over. That's the way it was with God in us. God so filled us with love, and he did that because he wants, you know, if we get jostled, he wants that love to spill out. Just splash it out on everybody around you. The very love of God, the love that says, I care for you, I want to help you, I want to meet your needs. And, you know, to look at your mate with the eyes of love is to say, how can I meet your needs? And then explore that. That's what intimacy does. But this is an investment in your own happiness. The person who's always trying to make himself happy never achieves it because there's no standard there. You know, how happy is happy? How much more happy do I need? I was watching a TV show the other day, and the lady's breaking up with her boyfriend. She says, it's getting to be too much about you. I have had a long-standing relationship with me, and that's where I want to keep the focus. You know, this is the ultimate of the lack of intimacy, lack of devotion. All right, so man is benefited by marriage, and then man receives good from a good wife. This is the way that works. In Proverbs 31, verses 12 and 27, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. The man who complains that his wife doesn't take an interest in the things of the household and that type of thing is a man who is not encouraging his wife. That's just the foundation of it. When a wife is truly loved, she will want the home to reflect good on the husband, and the other way around as well. The wife who truly loves her husband, devoted to her husband, will find that he's the one who wants to do something for her. And then, again, man is spiritually helped by a good marriage. All of the things we've talked about here deal with emotional and physical things. Being helped, being encouraged, actually having a healthy life. How much of your medical condition is actually based on a mental condition? How often I've heard that the person died at the hospital, but they weren't trying. They weren't, what's the word? They wasn't fighting for it, see? They had basically given up. It's a mental thing. And so it is with us every day. This is why God tells us, think on the good things. Think on the beautiful things. Think on the lovely things. And it just feeds in. Donna has a nice little tract that I think you already put it in the back. Oh, didn't put it in the back yet, but it'll be available for you. And I told her it's true for Christians. See? And so I think it's safe for us to pass it out here. Don't just hand it out indiscriminately to people that aren't saved. But it's about positive thoughts. And this is what Isaiah, right? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. If you trust in the Lord, then you're not worried about these things. What happens is you're at perfect peace. And how is your life, how is your health made better? By being at peace. If you are, you know, worried about this and all that, you get the ulcers, you get the colitis, you get who knows what other complications. But if you are at peace, if your mind can be at rest because you trust in the Lord, he's going to take care of it. And you have a mate, you can trust in that mate to be, to make up what's necessary for you. Yes, ma'am. That's right. That's right. the song about the woman at the well says, like the woman at the well, she was after water. Christ offered her spiritual drink. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that cannot satisfy. So this is the way the world is. They're looking for happiness, but always in the wrong places. Okay. So man receives spiritual help as well. And look at this, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, your wives, according to knowledge. That means find out about them, you see. Actually build a knowledge of your wife. The whole dating game thing, no, it wasn't it. Newlywed, or I forget what it was, but they were asked questions about what will your husband say, what will your wife say about this thing or that thing. We ought to be in training for that all the time, not just for trivial games, but because, well, I'll tell you one of my secrets. You know, men don't like shopping. God made men more the hunter. I mean, you're after something, you go out there, you shoot it, you get it, you bring it back, you know. And I say that having never really gone hunting, but that's the idea. And if I'm going shopping, then I have an idea and I find it and I say, well, looks like it's a price I can afford. I get it. And my wife says, no, we haven't gone to 16 stores yet to compare what these prices are, see. And so she goes shopping, see. Now, so it's my job to be with her in these things. And so what I did, I came up with a strategy. What am I going to be doing while she's shopping, see? So she was especially shopping for something as uninteresting as clothes, you know. Christmas shopping I like. I get to see the toys. I never grew up much beyond that. So We go to Steinmart. Anybody been to Steinmart? You know Steinmart, and they, that center section where they have all the interesting stuff. That's where she, my wife goes looking through the clothes, and then she comes back. I knew you'd be here. Of course I am. This is where they have the interesting stuff. And so when I was with her then, I would notice what she liked. And I would try to form an image of that, you know, what are the characteristics of that? And so then I would find something and I'd say, what do you think of that? Because I'm thinking that might fit what she likes. And then she'd say, well, this is that and that's that. Oh, okay, so now I just fine-tune that thing. And then by the end of the series, then I can say, hey, look at that, whatever you think. Oh, yeah, I like that. Okay, all right, see. And now I've learned. What have I done? I've begun to deal with her according to knowledge. I've sought it out, understood her desires and that type of thing. Anymore, the sacrifice that I make is she sees an interesting HGTV show about home remodeling, designers, the Property Brothers. One guy sells the property, the other guy fixes it up to sell one that's not in good shape, and the other guy fixes it up. So, you know, this is about as uninteresting as you can possibly get. I mean, there is a sci-fi channel after all. So, you know, that's what I would watch if I have my choices. But I want to know what she finds interesting, and I want to be able to share that with her. So from time to time, not go overboard on this, but time to time I'll watch that. So Peter says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel. And this is not a put down, but you know, the styrofoam cup, you know, not you're not going to worry about this. You know, if I'm picking it off the shelf and it falls down, you know, pick it up. You know, the tin cup falls down off the shelf, you just pick it up. But the china cup, the precious one, that's a weaker vessel, and so you're extra careful about that. Pull it out. You don't want it to fall down. If it starts to fall, you make the diving catch, you know, and you make sure. Because it's the weaker vessel, it's subject to be broken. And so he says, learn about your wife. What is the weakness? Where is the tendency to break? And then be careful with her in that way. Give honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as unto the more precious china cup, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. The grace of life here is God's gift of life, and this is the children that you produce together. And so you are fellow heirs of the grace of life, producing life with your mate. Then he says, do all of this that your prayers be not hindered. And the fact is, if you mistreat your mate and then say, I'm going to go pray, you might as well just stare at the wall, because you are in active disobedience to God, and then you go to God and ask for a benefit, not going to work, see. So not only emotionally and therefore mentally and physically, but also spiritually, your gain depends on the intimacy that you devote to your mate, the importance of intimacy. And then the final one, a fairly simple one, intimacy clears away the fears that hinder emotional and physical relations. Two people, very different in background. You know, everybody is different in background. Everybody has different things they thought of as what their life should be like and all that. Sometimes those ideals were made in an ungodly time of their life, things that they promised themselves that they would do. But you come together and you're no longer two, you're one. And so intimacy sharing fears clears away those fears. And this is pointed out in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. Love, fear is about self, love is about the other one. The very focus takes you away from your fear. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So intimacy forms that bond. Intimacy approaches and then allows the fears of the mate to be shared. We're always hesitant in revealing too much of ourselves. You know, you've heard of people that are talking and you're saying, excuse me, too much information. You know, you're telling me too much. I don't want to hear that. With husband and wife, we can approach the giving of our entire heart with the recognition that my loved one will accept me for who I am. Not judging and rejecting me because I'm not up to some level that they expected me to be. Rather, they accept me as I am at whatever stage of development I'm in. They'll accept me where I am, encouraging me to be better. I won't be rejected because love doesn't do that. Going back to 1 Corinthians 13, all the things of love. Love is the forgiving. Love is the helping thing. So no fear in love. So as you want to demonstrate love, you will use a time of intimacy, of intimate conversation, of intimate time together to draw out the fears. Like my mom had a bread poultice. I'm probably not saying it right. But I had some sort of a infection on my thumb, I remember. And so she had a bread and milk thing, and she put that on my thumb and wrapped it up. And I'm thinking, this is kind of like voodoo, isn't it? You know? And but there was something about it that as it dried up, then I could feel it sucking the stuff out of my thumb. It actually was a little pain, like something was in there sucking it out. And then by the time it was done, threw the whole thing away and the infection was gone. You get to be that to your mate. You get to be the one that says, running my fingers across your life, there's a rough spot right there. What's going on here? And you draw it out, not to inflame it, you see, but to suck the rattlesnake poison out of the wound, to take it unto yourself. Spit it out, get rid of it, but you take it to yourself. And then they're more likely to heal. You draw fear out, because with a loving heart, you're taking it on yourself. Not to judge, but to heal. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. And this is your goal. This is the goal that is achieved only by intimacy, and therefore becomes one of the main reasons why intimacy is so important. Comments or questions? The importance of intimacy.